Welcome to Our Wonderful World Media and Entertainment's Celebrity Spotlight, courtesy of Seaview Radio, broadcasting on 960 AM, 95.9 FM, and 106.9 FM from Stuart to Boynton Beach on Florida's East Coast. I'm Glenn Swift, and our special guest today is John Pagano, who will be the featured guest artist with the Palm Beach Pops in just about 2 weeks from now here at the end of November. Welcome aboard, John.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. Great to be here.
John, it's really a pleasure to be able to interview you. We have heard nothing but extraordinarily fine rave reviews, really, about you and your performance. And I think you've got a kind of an interesting story. In many ways, it's almost like you were born to be a performer. You really grew up around music. And I think I would like you to point out that in many ways, you kind of grew up with some of the great personas of the great American songbook, sometimes on the way to school.
Oh, absolutely. Waking up to go to school in the morning. Growing up in an Italian household in Providence, Rhode Island, you know, that was my dad's alarm clock to get us to go to school in the morning. It was pretty much a station that would be playing Sinatra or his albums, you know. And it wasn't something that I really loved to hear because it meant it was time to go to school, but in my subliminal there, in my subconscious mind, it was right. All planting a seed. And, you know, when it came time to do this, I was very, very familiar with it. And I've always loved it. You know, when I became a musician, I obviously appreciated the big band sound and Sinatra and his voice and the arrangements and just the way music was done back then, you know, all guys in the studio. And it was a typical, you know, American-Italian household growing up and listening to Sinatra. So, yeah, it's been years that I've been really familiar with that kind of stuff, and I'm looking forward to singing that stuff with the Pops, you know.
About what age would you say it was when you really kind of knew that this was what you wanted to do?
Honestly, I think it was the day that my dad brought home a snare drum from my brother because he wanted to be a drummer. He was a bit older than me, and I just saw him working on that snare drum and practicing it, and I immediately knew that I wanted to do something like that, and I wanted to play guitar, and I started playing guitar at 9 years old, and my father would rented me a guitar at the time to see if I would actually be interested to keep stick with it and practicing. And from that one day, I just tried to sing, you know, the Platters classic, Only You, as I was trying to practice it on the guitar. My dad recommended, hey, why don't you try singing it? And I did, and it didn't sound all that great when I did because I couldn't really play and sing at the same time. I hadn't perfected that. So went in the room and worked on it for a little while, came out, and it must have sounded pretty good after that because I got a lot of encouragement at 9 and a half, you know, years old to keep doing it. So it just kind of went from there and took a life of its own, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, your career really took off after you got involved with Burt Bacharach, and you yourself have admitted that you weren't the singer then that you are today, that you've really been able to learn a great deal, probably even more than just music. But tell us a little bit what it's been like to work with someone like Burt.
Oh, it's undescribable in a lot of ways. It's amazing because he's a very, very intelligent man. He's got a genius side to him, as we all know, and you know, he's really, really into you know, teaching you things on the way, and he's become a great friend, and a really great friend, and he's somebody that I see all the time outside of work too. And you're right, it wasn't just with music, it was just learning things like how to rehearse a symphony, you know, watching him do that so many times, and how to get the symphony to play so that you're comfortable, and working with them together and making it so that everyone's happy. And the way he went about doing that, just watching him do that, for instance, without him directly teaching me, and how he gets everybody on the stage to feel like, you know, they're rooting for him as opposed to working for him, and everybody's working together to try and get everything to sound great, you know. Not to mention sensitivity and in vocals. He taught me that, you know, singing, when you're young, you want to just sing everything as hard as you can. You want to run as fast as you can. You want to do everything. And, you know, he was the guy that really explained to me that with one whisper, you could give somebody goosebumps or make them cry, you know, and it's all the sensitivity and things like that. And those are things that performing live with him for 15 years that I've really, really able to dial into and learn from him, and I wouldn't give up any of those performances in all those years for anything. You know, it's been the greatest education musically I could ever imagine, and life learning lessons also, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned about the symphony and all, because I was privilege to listen to your new CD, which I'd like to talk about, The Pure Imagination.
Yeah.
And what I think is so interesting about it is the way that you created the CD. It, in many ways, I mean, you've incorporated the modern technology of today, and yet you also kind of did it the old-fashioned way. You actually brought the symphony into the studio, and you recorded live, if I'm reading it correctly, in your bio.
Is that's absolutely what we did, and, you know, records aren't really made that way anymore.
Right.
And I wanted to do it that way. There's no synthesizers on my record. There's nothing like that. It's all done the way Frank would have done it back in the day. I went into Capitol Recording Studios, probably, mm-hmm. you know, one of the most proudest experiences and moments of my life was going in the studio in Capitol with Frank and Nat King Cole, pictures all over the wall of them singing this stuff, and working with some of the musicians and some of the arrangers. I mean, Pat Williams did a lot of arrangements with Frank Sinatra, and I was lucky enough to get him to do arrangements on this record and work with him in the studio with musicians that work with Frank and arrangers and doing everything, you know, everything in there real. I'm singing, they're playing horns, they're playing violins, they're playing cellos, everything at once, and for a musician, you know, that's like a race car driver getting into the fastest car he could ever get into and just going for it, you know. So it was an amazing experience, and I think the result is it shows that, you know, it's really done with quality and a lot of time and a lot of love into it. So,
well, you know, I think the CD itself, correct me if you don't agree with this, but to me, it almost encapsulates all the various skills and experiences that you've had as a performer are really manifested in this particular CD. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. I think everything that I've learned from Bert and, you know, and doing that kind of music, it did. I applied it. I've been in the studio so many times with Bert, and I've watched him, you know, and how he goes about doing things in the studio. And, you know, he's coming from the old school way, and he still does things that way, and I really appreciate that about him. I mean, to him, times haven't changed when it comes to going in the studio. You got to do it right in there, and don't want to fix it electronically or anything like that. If it's right when it goes down, that's the way it should go down. So, you know, just like you say, everything I've learned from him, I did put into that. And I was also lucky enough to have him, you know, he was gracious enough to produce two of his classics on the album for me. And working with him in the studio on my project, as opposed to usually working with him on his, that was also just an amazing experience, something that I'll never forget and always be grateful for him to do for me, you know. So, yeah, really, 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 everything came in handy. It was like I got all the lessons over the last, 15 years, and to go in the studio and apply everything, it was all there for me, you know. So
yeah, well, in listening, I kind of hear the Italian crooner. I hear many times more of a formal, classically trained type of voice, and then I would mm-hmm. also say that a lot of your phrasing is kind of R&B rooted.
Absolutely. I mean, I was raised an R&B singer, really. I mean, I was always into the American Songbook, but I mean, I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, where I don't know if you're aware, Jeffrey Osborne, you know, a really great R&B singer that's done well for himself, and I went to high school with his nephews, and I played in a band with them, and I played that stuff quite a bit, so I like to apply that a little bit, and not try to make the songs R&B style, but it's part of where my voice is coming mm-hmm. from, and one of the great experiences about recording that record is that, you know, a lot of the musicians and the older guys that worked with Frank, they walked up to me after the session and they said, you know, it's really refreshing to hear somebody sing these songs and not try to imitate
right.
Frank, you know, to just sing them in their own way. We've got Frank. We've had him sing it, and he did a great thing, and there's no sense in trying to repeat that. So it was nice to, because I was kind of wondering, I went into this project thinking I don't want to go in there and try and sound like Frank. As great as he was Frank, and nobody's going to compare to that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do the melodies justice and do the arrangements justice, but I just wanted to sing them the way they're supposed to be sung, you know, and with my own styles and my own influences into that, and I'm really happy with the result, and people have been so far. So,
well, tell us what it's like to perform with the Palm Beach Pops.
Well, you know, it's just going to be amazing for me. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I mean, the last time I played this room had to be 9 or 10 years ago with Bert, so to come back and do it on my own, I can't tell you how excited I am, you know, to work with the Pops and perform this music. I'm as excited about it as you guys are. So,
no, that's great. That's great. Well, listen, I tell you what, John, we've had a great time here, And we're looking forward to a fantastic performance. And we wish you the best. And I hope that this will be the first of many years performing with the Pops.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, and I'm looking just as forward to it, and I'm going to be looking for you in those first couple of rows, Glenn.
Okay, now listen, the very last thing here, if people want to buy your CDs, what's the best way to do that?
The best way right now is to go on johnpagano.com, or they'll be able to purchase them at any of the shows.
Okay, well, that sounds great. All right, well, thank you very much, John. It's been a privilege.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Glenn. Looking forward to seeing you.
I'm Glenn Swift, and we've been speaking with John Pagano, who will be featured with the Palm Beach Pops at the end of November and early December. For ticket information, please go to palmbeachpops.org. This interview was brought to you by Our Wonderful World Media and Entertainment, publisher of Florida's leading green digital magazine, Our Wonderful World. Please visit us at owwmedia.com. That's owwmedia.com for the very latest in how to live a healthier, happier, greener lifestyle.